opinion on what it was, I guess, right? I'm getting really encouraged about doing the war over worship in the book of Revelations. But I don't know that I'd go blow by, you know, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, but more by, kind of like I do Song of Solomon, movements that happen. And there's so much that's now paralleling, I think, where we are today. But this is my pleasure, the presence. It is everything. So it's been a joy to share this, and there's so much more. And I hope you're practicing and having new experiences. I hope doors are opened. I hope you've discovered things that I didn't even talk about. Found new ways into the presence that we weren't even trying to get to. It's really it's unending, and there is no middle of God, so to speak. Because how could you ever? If that meant you got to the middle, then the other side, you'd get to the other side, and He's infinite. So therefore you could never exhaust the journey, and yet all the knowledge of Him that we increase in causes grace to increase, wisdom to increase, favor. It is the transference of life. So don't know when we'll do it, but I feel faith is to stop the 6 o'clock for a season after the conference. Maybe we're going to go on holidays. I go off to Israel in the first week of November. But I love this journeying together, and I love the intentionality, and I love your purpose and your practice. And also, we'll keep everyone posted on email. Maybe we'll do some special focus gatherings, you know, one here in November, one here in December. Listening to then try to decide what to do is so less than when you can just listen because you're ready to do it. You know, you're in the dance class, and here's the next step we're going to learn, and let's now practice it at home so you can get competent and comfortable. And then once you got that, you can add to that and to this. And it's hard to join something too far in, and you have to join it wherever it is and just get started. So Daddy, I'm just so grateful for being in your presence. It's so amazing. To sit in your presence where you have dreamed this entire journey so that in the fullness, the dispensation of times, you would gather in one all things in Christ, both in which are in heaven and which are on earth. And we are a part of that, inside of your good pleasure, inside of your purpose, inside of yourself, inside of everything that you work together according to the counsel of your will. There's no mistakes, there's no missteps, there's no confusion, there's no, we got set back, I don't know what I'm going to do, now it's going to cost me another 100 years to turn this thing around. You never think that way. You never feel that way. You are just, you enjoy the restoration of all things. You are enjoying the restoration of all things. And we are in the midst of the restoration of all things. And we are the ones that you delight in. Our discovery of you and our discovery of ourselves in you and the work that you complete and release, and we bless you for it. So Lord, as we close this session and we look into Isaiah 35 as a practice and as a place we're going to be occupying in a very real way next week, I pray that you would just secure for everyone, one here and everyone on the internet and anyone listening at a later date, their place. Their lovely, wonderful, lively place in you. And then may it grow and grow and grow until we are your sons and daughters in that oneness with you, oneness with Christ, and the oneness of God begins to manifest. The revealing of Jesus begins to be seen. I bless you, praise you, and worship you for all that you're saying and all that you're doing. And we bless you. Amen. So I hope you keep practicing or making it a part to honor the to come with the boldness of the blood anytime, every time. I do it every day because it just makes my entry that much more settled, is the only way I'm coming. I don't, on my best day, I come with the blood. On my worst day, I come with the blood. And then I come to the new and living way which he consecrated for us in his flesh. That's the Hebrews 10. And I take time, and I just keep taking time, and I keep enlarging for me the death, the burial, the resurrection, his ascension, and his intercession. And I look into scripture, and I can sometimes spend my entire time there because it's just expansive. And once I'm there, then I behold the Father at the throne of grace, sitting there in eternity, in completion, and in who he has accomplished, and Jesus seated at his right hand as my high priest, intercessor. And then I take the time to begin to just worship him. And I, like today, I just took 1 Corinthians 13 again and just ascribed to him that God is love, therefore he is, this is who he is. And then everything I ascribe to God, it falls back on me. So when I tell him he is suffers long, he carries his spirit long, carries his emotion, he doesn't disconnect, then I feel that coming back on me, that, oh gosh, so I'm safe, it's okay. We're not going to grow tired of my progress. He's not going to get impatient with my movement or lack of movement. Then I tell him how kind he is, because love is kind, and the kindness of God, I find new words, and I really hope you'll just enlarge your vocabulary over whenever you find something that of God that you want to understand more. Look for 5 or 6 new words to describe the word. Get a thesaurus, or just your app will do it, the same thing with the Strong's. And then, so in kindness, you're useful. You get involved. You're just not indifferent. You're not sitting in any one of our lives and looking at the day you just went through and saying, you know, come on, get with it. You're wasting my time. I don't like the fact that you're stuck in this sin, and I'm upset with you that you're piddling your life away in this silly adventure. To God, the whole thing is a joy. Don't let your chores be any less beautiful for you to God than your devotion. Don't let your sin that you're struggling into liberty through be any less a part of your growth in God than when you feel like you just haven't sinned for, you know, 3 days, which is a lie. Trust me, there's nobody's not sinned in 3 days. But I used to live to do that. I used to live not to sin. What an awful way to live. It's like getting married and just being afraid you're going to disappoint the one you're married, so that you're always trying to, you know, think ahead. What would they want? What do they don't want? They don't want to do that. If I do that, they'll be upset. It just makes you a nervous wreck. So include, involve, enjoy. He's useful. He's involved in this life you're in. He delights in the life you're in. If he doesn't like the life you're in, he can change it. Isn't that a thought? If you don't mind where I'm at, neither should I. If this is what you're giving me to be about, then I can be about that. And if I would be of more use to you in another setting, change it. If not, I'm not going to let it interrupt my being about you. Do you follow me? The uninterrupted union with God is where we're growing into and walking with. And that's where 2 books I thought of this week, if you'd like to read on. One is the Brother Lawrence book called Practicing the Presence of God. This is like a 600-700-year-old book. Old English. You can get modernized English. It's easy to find on Amazon. Practicing the Presence of God. That's where I took the title. And it's Brother Lawrence. He was a cook in a monastery. A cook in a monastery. And we're reading his book 600-700 years later. And all it was letters he was writing to people who are wanting, endeavoring to grow in the presence he carried. And then they collected the letters, and they kept translating them into our language. And it's invaluable. And he's famous for the, I do not bend over to pick a piece of straw without doing it as unto worship unto God. So what he had found is that that every part of life is worship, and there was nothing he was rushing to, and there was nothing he was trying to get out of. And all he ever was a cook. All he was ever was a cook. It's like Stephen, the deacon, serving tables, and he gets to be the first martyr because he just beheld something about the Lord that was beyond, you know, it was just awesome. Another book, which is a little different, now this one's, it's by C.S. Lewis, and it's called The Great Divorce. And that's a really good allegory of, I won't tell you because it's he writes so well, you'll enjoy the story from the first page. He's a genius writer. But it's a really good allegory of the unseen and the seen, and heaven and hell, and temporal and eternity, and even how everything becomes new in Jesus, and how it is seen from Jesus' perspective. And it's all about a journeying of someone through that experience of kind of going up into heaven. But it's a great book. It's just fun. It's a great read. C.S. Lewis, The Great Divorce, Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God. So let's talk about Isaiah 35. I'm going to read it through, and I'm going to explain it in a little bit of sections, and then we're going to enter into it. So let's just let it grow. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and a thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road. It shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. And whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Chapter 33 of my book, Saved Your Seat, I introduced the discovery of entering inside of words and promises that I once had memorized, articulate, you know, I literally memorized this entire chapter for the intentionality of seeing that God would keep his word and I'd keep his word alive. But having let it fall into the ground and die, and then discovering it inside of heaven, and the liveliness of the words, the vividness, the sound. It's a nice read, and there's a few chapters in front of it, a few chapters after. It's partly, it's really, really good revelation to step inside if you're learning to feel. See, words, you feel words, you see words, you hear words, you imagine words, you understand words. They collect with other thoughts and other places, and that is the essence, I believe, of where we step out of this as kind of being a you know, something we're reading that's historic or something that we're reading that's in the future into it becomes a script you're reading and you're a character in the play. You're like an actor that instead of reading it like we might read a book and it's a narrative and we're reading people's what they're doing and we're limited to just our imagination. Now you are the one stepping into the character. And here this chapter is, I'll probably hopefully get the time to collect what I did before, but this is 49 years. This chapter, Sennacherib shows up 46 years after chapter 6 in Isaiah. And I believe that Isaiah 35 is an unfolding of the promise after the desolation of everything. They'll begin to begin this opening of seeing again. And so we speak of now this eyes opening, ears opening, hearts. So in the first portion for us, I want it to be for you because this is for you and to enter into. So it has historical value, it has corporate value, but history and corporateness can never happen until individuals have it happen. All it takes is one man and him good as dead. And there can come forth generations of blessing. So I always read until it hits me and then let it grow beyond from that point on so that it affects me first before it affects someone else. Let it fully affect you. And so here I am, and here we are. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. This is this optimistic, hope-filled Holy Spirit. Whenever he steps into the wasteland, the wilderness, the desert places of our life, all he sees is what he's going to bring forth. And what he starts speaking to us is what he's bringing forth. And it's riveted with visual and emotion. If you take your concordance, much of what I'm sharing are things that you are just from simple pleasure of reading that. The wilderness, the wasteland, the desert, it's just starch, it's sterile, it's uninhabited, it's the places that may once have been fruitful or may have never been fruitful, but they're there. Yet in the midst of it, there's something breaking forth. The gladness, which is all of a sudden it becomes bright. So when I see that the wasteland shall be glad for them, I begin to feel and allow myself to feel the brightness of God coming. Because that's what he says. The first thing he begins with is a brightness. Because that's where revelation flows. That's where light flows. First thing he said, when the earth was without form, void, and in darkness, let light be. So all of a sudden there's a brightness that begins, a gladness. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. The word rejoice is to begin to twirl around under the influence of a violent emotion. You know, whenever God is going to break me free, he calls me into such a yieldedness to an opposite position my circumstances are saying I'm in. Yeah. And you have to, it's almost like to the level of the need of the breakthrough will be the level of your response in the opposite of the emotion, the feeling, and the situation. When Jonah was in the belly of the whale, that great fish, it says, you know, those who, he turned his face back to Jerusalem, he began to praise and fulfill his vows, and he separated himself back into God in the middle of it. There was no hope, and it wasn't until he just collected himself back into God that then did the Lord command the fish to spit him out. So the first thing to feel and allow to be felt is that in the midst of the desert, the wasteland, the wilderness, the gladness, the rejoicing, the bursting forth, that's where we get the word bud. It's like color breaking out. Look at see a gray landscape, a dead landscape. And that's why never be afraid of owning your place. He doesn't looking to get you another land, real piece of real estate so that you'll be better. He's going to fix the one you're in. When they rebuilt Jerusalem during Nehemiah's day, they took the same stones that once had made up the wall and put them back on the wall. They recollected it, and God began to raise it up. It's from within the ashes, first the beauty. From within the mourning comes forth the joy. So if you get out of your mourning without letting the joy break forth, then you lost all that suffering. There's a great book that's written called says, "Don't waste your suffering." You know, don't let your sorrows or sufferings go without them come bringing the promise of joy and victory and blessing. So, and then the glory of Lebanon and the excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they were beautiful places. I don't, you know, much of those parts of the earth have now been changed. Carmel is still very beautiful. But then he pulls it even from a connected physical place to himself, the excellency of the Lord. You'll see, which is this majesty, this royal splendor, this magnificence of God. And the glory is the kabod, the weightiness, the wholeness, the rest of God. You'll see this, you'll experience this glory and excellency. So this is the invitation to say, yeah, okay. Right in the middle of the wilderness, wasteland, and desert place. Not, I'll get you. Once that's changed, then get in. It's like, that's you, it's so much about the way Holy Spirit is. He just looks at your life. He looks at every one of our lives, and he just says, I've got this. I've got you. I've got your future. I put you in my Son. I knew you before the foundation of the world. I have chosen you, appointed you. You can't get out of my plan. And the fact that you're turning to me and say, collect me into yourself, Father, then we've got no problems. We've got no problems, and I am excited about what I'm going to do to bring this thing forward. No matter where we are, no matter where we are, because if anything where we are is saying God can't do what he did, then whatever we are is greater than what God already did. That's pretty bad theology if you think that way. It means Christ is no longer supreme, and what he accomplished is not complete because there's something you and I need to do for him to be able to do what he did. And frankly, he can do whatever he did just because he did it now. And we're in this invitation to come and walk in the land of the death and begin to hear the sound of rejoicing in the midst of the dead. And we're been given this invitation to walk in an area of lack of beauty and begin to see this beautiful, you know, flowers and life bursting forth. Now, when there, we'll see in a little bit, once there gets to the point where that now just becomes, it doesn't matter whether you're trying or not, you're just in it and it's just overtaking people. But the birthing point, the honor to walk through the sorrows into the glory is worthy of. You'll find yourself saying, Lord, I'm so glad, I'm so grateful for everything I've walked through. I'm so thankful. Would I choose it? No. But I'm glad I did it. I'm glad you did it. I'm glad it's bigger. He's bigger than regret. He's bigger than grief. He's bigger than pain. He's bigger than sorrow. He's bigger than sin. He's bigger than betrayal. He's bigger than anything and everything we could have ever done or had done to us. And yet, once every part of that surrendered to the Lord becomes the very place to which the beauty, the sound, the life, the waters, the grace will flow. So when we hear and perceive vision like this, the first thing of instruction comes these words: strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Again, the word strengthen is a beautiful word. It means to fasten. I love it in Daniel 10 because it's vividly shown the difference between the strength of vigor of the man or woman and their youth, the power they carry of character, of determination, of will, of choice, of natural body strength. It's not that kind of strength. It means to fasten upon. And I like it to be like about like that. You have fastened upon the Lord like he's fastened upon you. You know, you see it with your children all the time. I get to see it now with my grandkids. Little Noah, he's just a year. If we're traveling together and we're just traveling, either he's leading or I'm leading, but it's just we're traveling, he'll hold on to my little finger. That's about as much as he can grab, and he'll hold it, and it's just all the security needs, and I know he's there, and we can do a lot. Now, there's times when I need to take him someplace that he's not wanting to go anymore. So he lets go of my finger, and he's not going to hold on my hand, so I just grab him on the wrist, right? Isn't that how you grab? That's even part of the hand. That's why when Jesus was put the nails through here, that was considered the hand. So I just grab him there. It's not his choice. But when we grow into this fastening, it's a joining. It's being fastened to the Lord and fastening ourselves to the Lord. And from that posture comes strength. And he says, now strengthen the weak hands. The hands to speak of our work, and the weak speaks of the loss of vigor. So it's like, let a new strength come to what you're doing. Then make firm the feeble knees. The word firm is to come, you know, to become alert again. And the feeble is where we're staggering. We're kind of losing. We're not clear anymore. It's not as brilliant as it was. We're having difficulty seeing. And so let that wavering of your thoughts and emotions and feelings give way instead to come alert again inside of your worship. Because knees comes from the word barak, which means to kneel in worship and adoration. So strengthen and fasten again to your work that God's given you. Let the worship come alive with alertness and such. And then begin to share one with another. Don't be strong. See, the fearful hearted is fear that makes your heart run like water. It's where you kind of, you know, you just lose your place. And you don't, before you even know it, your soul makes you like the chariots of your noble people, and you take off, and you don't even know why you ran away so quickly. Behold, your God will come with. I had this interesting experience last night. It was pretty funny. About 1:30, I woke up, and then all of a sudden, I heard the garage door go, kum, kum, close, just that sound. And I thought, oh, David's down in San Diego. Heidi's in bed. And so, it could be our dog. A dog, if the door is left ajar, she'll go in to eat the cat food. But yet, I kind of just felt like, oh, I'm anxious. I felt, just wasn't feeling like confronting an intruder in my underwear. But neither was I thinking we had an intruder, so I'm not going to go get dressed and spend all that time too. So here we are, and just, I go, well, I better just go look, and go downstairs, and the light's on in the garage. So that's kind of like, wow. Either I left the light on or I didn't, and went to the door, and the door's unlocked. And so I just locked the door and went back up to bed. I couldn't find the dog, so I was pretty sure it was the dog. I told Cammie about it. I said, you know, I just wasn't, and I just figured, well, you're out there, you're locked down. She said, well, what if it was your Christian, our other grandson? I said, well, he'd know how to go through the door and come through the doggy door and get back in the house. Those are, you know, you're not always, you know, nobody's always strong. Nobody's always brave. Nobody's always just rising up like, hey, let me go find an intruder. I just want to do that. And thoughts can capture your heart, and they can create a feeling, and the feeling can become a, and we just kind of find that place before the Lord. And for me, I felt like, okay, Lord, I feel safe with that. I'm going to bed. And so our dog spent the night in the garage. Ate the cat food, though. But when you're saying be strong, that means fasten yourself. Go ahead to each one and fasten yourself. Do not fear, which now is not the word let your heart run like water. It's the don't let anything intimidate you. Don't let anyone or anything intimidate you. Yes, you're facing some very intimidating things, but just stay fastened to the Lord and not to the thing. And just, because guess what? God's coming. Elohim, your God's coming. And when he comes, he's coming with vengeance. He's going to deal with the stuff that is contending against you. He's going to deal with it he's going to avenge himself. He's going to deal with it. And he's going to recompense. There's going to be restitution. There's going to be a distribution of what it is that ought to be. There's going to be reward. There's going to be dealing with our adversary and dealing with the journey we've been. The hundredfold return is really recompense. A hundredfold return. And a hundredfold return applies to anything that we leave for Jesus' sake or lose for Jesus' sake. Anything that we give for Jesus' sake or have to forgive for Jesus' sake. It covers it all. So that you don't lose on it. So that's what he's saying. What does it matter where you are? Strengthen yourself in the Lord. He's coming. And when he comes, he'll come with vengeance. He'll come with recompense. And he'll save. And save means to release us from captivity. Just open the doors. Come on out. Let's go. And when that happens, simultaneously with that happening, this coming of the Lord, eyes open to see, ears come unstopped to hear, heart, the lame begin to leap, and we're going categorically opposites. I mean, that's like the lame man at the gate beautiful who never walked a day of his life jumping and leaping and praising God. He didn't even have to learn balance. He just went from never walking to through balance, growing, learning like anyone would, and just was in a leaping mode. That's just like, whew. That's the same thing as lame to leaping like one of those gazelles on a mountaintop. And then he goes on and he says, and the tongue of the dumb who cannot speak will be singing. I mean, and it's just this force of heaven, force of resurrection. I really believe the force of Jesus. The force of Jesus appearing in the midst of his people. Not for his people, but in his people. I believe this is where we're going to see, and it will be visible to many people, things that will become, that will be just extraordinary. With that is accompanying waters bursting forth, because how's the flower is going to grow? Life is determined by water. You know, we're in this, our third year of a drought. We know what it looks like. I believe during our conference, we're going to see the promise of the water, of the fountains coming to the drought. I just believe that. I believe the drought's over. But I think where it's really good for us to collect ourselves in this, under this banner, and then God starts speaking to us, all of a sudden we can release it to others. Because anything you can receive for yourself, you can give it away to someone else. That's why he allows us to go through adversity so that we can then find the comfort by the Holy Spirit in the adversity and then deliver the comfort to others so that they can grow without having to go through the same level of adversity. Does that make sense? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So now, and these are contrasting again. Waters bursting forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert, parched ground becomes a pool. That means that there will become pools of water where there only was a mirage. Only nothing but a mirage, and now it's pools of water. And the drought-stricken land begins to have these fountains. So, again, for myself and for when we step into this in a couple minutes, just let these, allow your eyes of your understanding to become enlightened. The word understanding in Ephesians chapter 1 talks about the deep thought, and it has to do with the idea of imagination, and it's even used in the New Testament for the word imagination in a few places. So it's deep calling to deep, so you're feeling it. And from there, even to the point where the habitation of dragons, which is the old King James word for jackals. And I took the time today while I was walking, going through my concordance and read through all of the dragon scriptures. And you see a correlation between the dragons of like Pharaoh who lived in the Nile and considered it his own, to who he would be dragged out of the water and left as a carcass, to those reptile places uninhabited by any, barren places uninhabited by anything but but dragons, by ostriches is another word, or owls. So it just speaks of where a rule has been in place that was not the rule of God, either usurping and taking the blessing of God for itself, or causing a curse to rest where the blessing should be. And now there's reeds and rushes, and it's flourishing again. And from there, here we see this highway, this elevated way that we're getting up on. And inside the way, inside the highway is a way or a road. So a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. Literally, it would be better translated, a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the road of holiness. Because the road is some, it's a path you've traveled on. And because you've been traveling on it, it is now becoming a road. And every time we come into the presence, every time I come into this scripture, I've walked into it. And so the next time I walk into it with what I had discovered before. I already bring it with me. But now I discover more. And so this road of discovery begins to define my identity and my sanctification. And I begin to observe, these are the things God is wanting me to hold sacred before Him. These are the things that are valuable to Him for me. This is my sanctification. This is the way He has me to conduct my life before Him. And that's where we get in trouble if we ever try to get each other to walk each other's sanctification. Because your sanctification is unique to the person God made you to be. And it's best if you just don't tell anybody what your sanctification is. Okay, old Ed Cole, he's with the Lord now. But Ed Cole was the one who taught me years and years ago. He says, most men preach their sanctification and try to live the word. When you should preach the word and live your sanctification. And that story is the prophet who goes to Jeroboam, who has been commanded to curse his altars that he's just set up in Bethel. And when he does so successfully, the Jeroboam wants him to come home with them. And he says, no, I won't, because the Lord said, go to this land, do what I do, and go back a different way. Don't eat anything. Don't stop anywhere. And what he did is he shared his sanctification. The instructions of heaven about how he was to conduct himself. And because he did that, somebody overheard it. And he went and told his dad, it was an old, an old prophet, just not really nothing functioning in him. And his dad, this old prophet, said to the young man, his son, he said, go tell that prophet that the Lord said, or no, he said, saddle my donkey so I can go find him. And when he found the prophet, he said, come home with me. And he said, nope, the Lord told me. And he just repeated his sanctification a second time, just straight up. And then the prophet said, well, the Lord told me that you're supposed to come home with me, and it's okay to eat. So he thought, okay. And as soon as he stepped out of his sanctification, he stepped out of his safety, and he stepped out of his place, and he's eating a meal. And then the old prophet gets anointed by a young man's disobedience. And he gets the thrill of the anointing again to prophesy. What an evil thing. It's just, we'll do that though. We desire something that really isn't, we should just leave it alone. But he jumps up there, thus saith the Lord, because you didn't do what I said, you're going to die. So the young prophet gets up, gets on, starts his way home, and a lion jumps on him, kills him. And then the lion sits there, won't devour him. The donkey he was riding stands there, not afraid of the lion. And the old prophet hears of this, says it's because he didn't obey the Lord. Yeah, thanks, but you're the one who made him not obey the Lord. Do you understand this, how we do this to each other? We do this either out of sincerity or out of stupidity or out of control, but it's wrong. Had it been that old prophet said, wow, son, that man's a dangerous place because he's revealed too much of his sanctification. Let's pray for him, and I hope he gets his way home. Then it would probably have all been fine. But instead, he took advantage of that, and so now he goes, he collects the man, buries him, and then he says to his son, this is the old prophet, says, when I die, bury me with this prophet. That's an interesting story. And Ed Cole brought out of that teaching that you preach the word, not your sanctification. Tell the word of God. That's the word that's eternal. That's the word that then the Holy Spirit takes to the other individual and reshapes it to their unique size. to fit them uniquely for the who they were given to be and called. And as we allow that to happen, then we are growing up into him who is the head, who is Christ. And we're not tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. We're not always chasing things because people are telling us, you got to all now think this way, all got to believe this way, all got to act that way. We're just all moving in concert toward the Lord, and the oneness starts developing because it's diversity. It's massive diversity, many, many members, one body. And so this highway within has roads of travel. And these roads, are the unclean cannot come upon them, because no one can walk inside your sanctification. Once you're in it, you're safe. Once you're set apart into your journey, no one can access you there. It's a safe place. And no unclean will go there, but it shall be for others. And I love the word others. The Hebrew says it's going to be for the walkers. You know, this whole thing we're in, it's just journey. It's going to be for the walkers. So you're on your walk, you're in a walk, you just keep walking. And nobody else, nothing else can get in there, get on it. It's for the walkers. And even if you're a fool, not that smart, kind of dull, kind of slow, kind of stupid, you won't lose your path, because you're just staying inside the simple thing he told you to do. Like little brother Lawrence, I'm going to pick up whatever I do, I'm just going to do it for God. If I'm making chicken soup, it's for the Lord. I'm going to feel the presence of God while I stir the pot. Yeah. Oh, you're so good. And all he did was follow what he was taught, to the point where people begin to say, how do you do that? And then he could begin to give them their general. And you read his book, he never tells them you have to do it the way I do it. He just talks to them about discovering where the Lord is for you, and do that and follow that into that place. So it just gets great. Ravenous beasts can't get up there. The redeemed, they're the ones walking there, the ransomed of the Lord. And they come to Zion with singing. And that's that word of creaking and loud shrills of joy. They come with everlasting joy in their heads. They obtain joy, gladness, sorrow, and sighing. They all flee away. Kind of completing where we began. And yet we're all now moving. I've just been meditating on this, that in the fullness, in the dispensation, the fullness of time, we might gather into one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth. That is where we're all being pulled. And tonight we're going to go into Ephesians 2 about the compacted city, because that's just something. See, all I'm doing is yielding to his eternal calling. All I'm doing is yielding to his eternal purpose, his good pleasure that he's purposed from the beginning, from himself. All I'm doing is learning to yield. And the more I yield and flow and walk and grow, the more delightful it is. It fits me, because he designed my journey for me, or me for my journey. They're one of the same. They're not in competition. There's nothing that's incongruent about them. And the joy and the gladness and the delight become more and more all that we are aware of, and the sorrow, the grief, and all that stuff that we regret, that just goes away. That's why the tears get wiped. They get blotted out. They go from the point of origin, and they're removed. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be the happiest group of people ever been. And before we get there, we're going to be happier than we are today. We're going to just get happier and happier and happier as the world gets sadder and sadder and sadder. We're going to get lighter and brighter and brighter as the world gets darker and darker and darker. We're going to get more unsettled and peace and peace and peace as the world gets shaking and fearful. So that's part of it. So I read, then I step inside of understanding, and then I make a point. Like if I'm walking, or I'm using my concordance, I'm looking up something, after a while I stop. Because this is what I don't want to just accumulate this in my mind. I want it to flow into my heart. So then I begin to say, okay, I need to feel that. I need to feel what that looks like. So let's stand up and feel some of this. I feel that, to me, that's where I really start to honor Dad. Because instead of him just showing me a bunch of stuff and I'm impressed, I go, no, Lord, I want to eat. I want to taste and see. I want to devour. So Heavenly Father, we love you so much. You're so beautiful. I can't tell you how beautiful you are. Stand here in the midst of your barren, broken, bruised, breached wilderness, wasteland, desert, unproductive, no longer vibrant. See it. Give it some names. Marriage, family, finance, emotions, hope, dreams, children, parents. Let it be what it is. Here I am. Here I stand. Here I am. And then let the Lord begin to say that in the midst of this very land, it shall be glad for them. For something is beginning to come upon us as a people redeemed by the Lord, as he calls us back to himself and he completes what he set in motion within, that we begin to cause the very places of brokenness, woundedness, barrenness, wilderness to become alive again. Gladness, joy, emotions of such strong emotions that it causes twirl around violently. Flowers blooming and glory, kabod, weightiness of God, weightiness, sitting in the midst of Holy Spirit over the planet in its chaos now is upon us in our chaos. And excellency, the majesty, the completeness. What looked like total ruin and total loss is now all of a sudden being pulled into perfect order and perfect design. It's beyond what it could have been when it was. It is in Christ a new creation, so it's beyond its first creation. It's a whole new man. Wow. And while you see this and you become aware of seeing these things, let the voice of God hear, speak, and call you to strength. Fasten yourself upon me. Fasten yourself again. Let me fasten myself upon you. Step into the work. Step into that which you have been doing and called to do. Let it be much more than just inside of the church. It's everything you do. What was it that God dreamed of you? Much of the work that we failed to accomplish is because we failed to abide, not because we failed in the work. It's not a failure of our ability, never was able to do what we were given to do. It's only by abiding do we bear much fruit. So step into the abiding and let the dream come alive. What was the work? It may not be what you're doing now. Maybe something you gave up on. Let it come alive. Fasten your hand again to the work. Become alert again in your worship. Become alert again in your worship. No one can worship for you. No one can bless God for you. Your voice is the one he's listening for. It is your voice. The very alertness of worship opens doors of travel. Engage strength. Reawakened worship. Anyone we encounter, we can say to them, be strong. Do not fear. Do not fear. Behold, God's coming because God has already been coming to you. You're already experiencing God. Nothing may change when you leave here tonight, but everything's changed because you touched eternity, and temporary will yield to eternity eventually. Ha ha. And if it doesn't, who cares? You found the truth. The truth has made you free. And the light affliction, whatever we walk through, is but for a moment. And it is working for us an eternal weight of glory as long as we keep our eyes on the unseen. Wow. Now, eyes begin to open. Let your eyes open to see again. To see from the vision of heaven, from the place of the coming of the Lord, for he's come with recompense and vengeance. He's come and began to set things in divine design and order. He's shifting, he's shaking, he's moving, a kingdom's coming. Whoa! And yet he comes with his reward, and he comes with his recognition, awareness of where we've been and what we've walked through. Here he is. Diana and the worship team, you guys just better come on up because we'll probably go right into seven. Oh, there he is. There he is. There he is. He deals with our enemies like Aslan going into the White Witch's castle, breathing on all the statues, and they're coming alive while she's losing her power and the winter's no longer here. Oh, Shaburi Lama Baba. And he's saving, he's delivering. And we who have been taken captive by the evil one to do his will are freed. And we come alive. We go, whoa, 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 whoa. And it's like we wake up, we see, we think, we freely are able to move. No one's hindering us, ourselves included. We just start moving. Ah. Simultaneously, it's like pop, 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 pop. I can see, I can see, I can see. I see what was happening. I see where we're going. I see, I see. I can hear the voice of the Lord. Oh, the comforting, life-giving, awakening voice of God. Does resurrections, resurrections, life again, life again. I start leaping. I start moving. Shibundare, lapatote bisha. I start leaping, leaping, leaping like a deer. I'm jumping from a rock to rock where I was before, paralyzed in my life, could not move anymore. Now I'm leaping from mountains to mountains. Whoa, and songs of deliverance, singing songs, creaking. I'm like the barren woman who's got a wind of the truth that the promise is greater than the productivity of flesh. Ha ha, I'm bearing, I'm growing, I'm increasing. Ha ha, I'm singing aloud, I'm singing aloud, I'm singing aloud. And in the midst of this song, in the midst of this dance, and this sound and sight, all of a sudden the waters. Waters bursting, bursting forth, like ripped open. Oh, ba ba ba. And the mirages of life where we've lived with the dimmest of hope. It's only been a tease. It's like almost a mockery to our life, disappointment. All of a sudden, it's a pool. Cool and refreshing like an oasis. It's there. It's really there. It's really, really there. He's turned the captivity. He's turned the captivity. So the drought land becomes fountains, and the deserts become rivers, and it's just growing, growing, growing. And there where once the dragon dwelt, who dwelt and kept our soul a captive, who held our blessings to himself or took our blessing promise and made it into a wasteland of curses. All of a sudden, displacement. He's no longer habitating from where here because it's changed the environment of his dwelling. He's displaced as God comes into place. Whoa! Yeah! Whoa! And in the midst of this, you see there is that highway. It's emerged through the journey, and it's a clear path that you're to walk upon. And as you step into that, again, you begin your journey, your traveling, your roadway, and it is unto the Lord. Spirit of Jesus is going to quicken inside of this house right now. Visions of your calling, walking ways. Of your consecration, sanctification, and being set apart. Woo! Shibora Baba, and you're coming alive in it. Where it's just about responding. It's about yielding. It's about traveling. It's about journeying. It's about pursuing. It's a city whose builder and maker is God. It's a pilgrimage. It's up and here we go again. Here we go. We're up and walking. We're walking. We're walking. We're walking. We're walking. The unclean cannot carry on and follow us. You don't even have to worry about it. It can't keep following you because you're up in the place of his consecration. Oh, chara ba 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 ba. Here he comes. Hey, ya 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 ba. The ravenous, and that which intimidated and roared and devoured, and the violence of hell is no longer accessing. No, cannot, will not, because there is a place we're walking in the midst of our God. Look around and there they are, the redeemed, the redeemed and the ransomed of the Lord, the redeemed and the ransomed. It's as though they're moving in the midst unscathed by the hellish war over the earth, and in the midst of the earth, there they are moving towards Zion. Joy and laughter and singing and gladness and delight. There we are. There we are. Feel the emotion. Let the sound come. Let the deep calling to deep quicken, awaken of joy, joy, joy. Yes, the weeping is endured for the night season, but joy's come in the morning. Joy, joy, joy. Gladness, 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 gladness. Sorrow, sighing, or dissipating, like dew that's burnt in the morning by the warmth of the sun. It just can't be found. You can't even see that it was there before. It's dissipating. Grief and sorrow and paralyzation. It's dissipating, dissipating, dissipating. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus! Yeah! Woo! Oh, Lord. Lord, we lift up this conference that comes in a week, and we ask you to allow the lavishness of your goodness to expand beyond even anything we've ever yet known individually or corporately. We give you all the praise and the glory, and we know it's all made possible because of our great champion, Jesus Christ. You have done all things well. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Now, Father, let us practice presence with freedom and delight, and may we enter into this next service and enter into things of your delight as we praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.